Welcome to Tech at Lunch, the podcast that satisfies your hunger for all things tech while you enjoy your midday meal. So grab your sandwich, tune in, and let's dig in.
Hello, I'm Nick.
Hey, I'm John.
And, you know, this week we don't have Ed with us. And, you know, he's taking care of some family stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, last week we kind of touched on a few things, I think. You know, a lot of different, 3D printing processes, and, you know, even touched on a little bit of scanning and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot, and, you know, mainly, you know, good old rapid prototyping. This week,
yeah,
we're going to get on the, I guess you could call it either the train, or the soapbox, or whatnot, but, you know, augmented reality.
I'd call it a soapbox.
Yeah,
it's pretty early in the lifetime of virtual reality, augmented reality, right?
Well, yeah.
But it's also pretty early in the life of, you know, 3D printing and additive manufacturing on that realm. Like, it's hard to we went long a little bit last week. It's hard to keep into one realm the technology, right?
Right.
Kind of like
course.
Bleeds off into a lot of different other categories. We talk about space a lot and things like that because a lot of the applications are space.
Yeah, like crosstalk.
They need more durability on their prints. But when I think AR, I'm thinking it's augmented reality, but I think it's something more like an overlay to help you assist your normal process or your everyday process. Some indicator that shows up that doesn't need to be, you know, connected to that machine. You have some type of indicator that you're either wearing or holding, as if it's a tablet you're scanning with or a camera you're scanning with, and you're overlaying some type of mixed reality on the screen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of different applications of that, and that's the kind of the first and kind of the biggest thought that I would have towards augmented reality and even thinking about 3D printing is how do these fields connect to each other?
Right.
So I think there's a lot of different examples. I don't know. What's the first thing kind of that comes to your mind when you're thinking these two fields?
Honestly, it's the augmented reality and rapid prototyping. Because if you think about it,
okay,
if you say you 3D scan something and you take that 3D scan, you load it through Blender, you can take that Blender image and throw it onto an AR-based system and view it in real time, you know, and then you modify it, edit your STL, load it into Blender, you know, create an image, and then you can see it. You can see the physical image, you know, its true size, you kind of see what it is, you can spin it around, you can look at it. And most AR-based systems now, you can actually do the modification right there in the AR system. I think using probably the HTC Vive and a couple other things. Like you can make your little modifications, especially if you're doing like start stuff with cars and whatnot, is you can make your modifications right there, then send it to back to Blender or something like that. Then you can save it in STL, and then either A, you can send it to a 3D printer, you can send it to a vinyl cutter, or if you got to go to a vinyl, or you can go send it to something that's going to be cutting stuff out of styrofoam. So I think the use of it to do rapid prototyping processes is probably the one thing that I think about, because I think about how can I take this system, which I know is going to cost me more upfront, to save money in the back end. Save material,
right.
Save time, and stuff like that.
No, that makes sense. I mean, when that's something that I didn't think about initially. So you're saying 3D printing in and of itself is a good tool for rapid prototyping because you could rapidly iterate prints, say, if you're trying to size a fit for a certain part. Mm-hmm. But when you add the extra layer of augmented reality there. So it's kind of like you're kind of erasing a little bit that line between the physical and the digital world, and you're going from a physical object to a digital overlay. And in that sense, you can see the difference in size before you have to make 50 prints, right? You make it in 3 prints.
So you go from digital to semi-physical, back to digital to physical.
Yeah, so you don't need to print as many models when you're doing it. You know, it's definitely useful. So it cuts down on your usage. It makes sense. It also cuts down on your time it takes and the time it took you to make your part of your process with 3D printing. So I mean, that makes sense. I didn't think about that at first, so
It's
that's a
now,
cool idea.
if you think about it, you're also customer friendly at that point. If I go visit a customer, or I go do something with a customer, or a team, or somebody who's looking for parts, pieces, whatever, if you have, say, an HTC Vive or something like that on you, that has the 3D system on board, you can hand it to them. They can take a look at it before you even make the first print.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. That's a good idea. I
You,
it's
yeah.
just that much more impactful.
It's a buy-off before the buy-off even happens.
Yeah, it's a validation. I mean, we like most people's first idea of augmented reality or first like experience with augmented reality was that Pokemon game, Pokemon Go,
That'd be it.
right? It combined your GPS and your phone's camera. To give you a nice little game there, right? So I think that like having more connected with AR and adding the capacity and the ability for a machine to print, like if you're scanning something in real life and you're able to print that or send that file to your printer, like that, to me, that makes designing and rapidly prototyping, iterating anything, very easy. Very, very easy.
I guess the thing is, if you think about it, before we start to take pictures and send them to dark rooms and stuff like that, or send them to software and stuff like that. Prints, well, you send them to a printer, you wait 2 days, you get the print out, done, unless it's something small. Now you build it into the metaphysical world, and you put it onto a device, and you sit in a room and you look at it. Like what you mentioned about the Pokemon Go thing. The one thing that also led to is natural selection. It's what happens when people don't pay attention to where they're walking.
Yeah. Catch
At least,
that
you caught something, all right? It's probably the front of a
Pokemon.
truck, but hey, you caught something. But the thing is you can actually sit there and mess with it and play with it. And you can set it in front of you. You can sit in a room where this will be used, looking through an HTC or something. Who knows now with everybody talking to how great Apple's thingy is that they got now, that I really just think is a face worn iPhone. And you have to have a MacBook Pro or something like that to work with it. But hey, who's talking bad about that?
That's a
But
tough one, man.
yeah, and it's also
I
like what, $1,800?
think
Maybe.
it's 3,500.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a little pricey. It's a little pricey. The thing is that the added the I mean it's Apple as Apple does and Apple has done with their with how their
Like
practices
Disney and
are as
prices.
far as yeah, so they know that you want it. They want you to feel like you're going to miss out if you don't have it. And this is a pretty popular marketing scheme. You know, you have that fear of missing out, so you want to get yours too. But what I will say is that in a lot of cases, like the iPod Touch and the iPad and things like that, they really did kind of revolutionize with some of the technology they came out with.
Oh, I
But
agree with
it's
you.
been
I
quite
have
some
one.
time, right? Exactly. But I think they need to take this to the drawing board a little bit.
Right. Make
Yeah.
it affordable. That's why I buy with HTC, even if you get the commercial pack for the companies and stuff like that, it's like 500 and something bucks. It's less than $1,000. And it's built off of Android, which everything works off of Android most of the way. It's not like we're going to the HoloLens from Windows, which that's another possibility.
Yeah.
I think we've had this conversation before. It's the Google Glass. You know, if we could have them the one like Google Glass, where it's just poof right there in front of you, then, you know, hey, why not?
Yeah. I mean, if you compare the vision that I would that Google and Alphabet had for Google Glass versus what it looks like for some of these other like virtual reality headsets and companies, I
Yeah,
would
I can
say
see that.
that yeah, it's I mean they're all moving in the right direction, you know. But for Google Glass, it was they wanted to me they had the best pitch for having AR connected into your glasses. Of course, not everybody has glasses, so you got to worry about fitting things and stuff like that, which ends up becoming a nightmare on how you can get updates and how things look, and it makes it very difficult. I had a friend who was like in the pilot program for it,
Me too.
and he and they were just bulky and not as cutting edge or as like high tech as it was made out to be, right? But I have no doubt they're gonna keep working on that. I mean,
I think if we
augmented
see him
reality is
again,
the
it's
future.
gonna, like you said, it's gonna take it by storm because you
Yeah.
got this thing that weighs, you know, 3 or 4 pounds that people are wearing now. You know, coming from the HTC side of the house, or from the Meta side, or even from, Facebook side, not Facebook, but coming from Apple side, which I haven't really played with her, so I don't know the exact weight. I'm not going to speculate, but
Yeah.
I think they claimed it was like a pound and a half.
Yeah,
But
still think it's front heavy though, so like there's
yeah.
still some stability issues to look at.
And, you know, it, not going to lie, they all kind of look a little dorky, but
Yep.
you know, it's put it bluntly. And the thing is I think that for a professional environment, I think the Google Glass was the way to go. You know, for something that professionals can use, where it's like if you're working on something in an office or in a manufacturing environment, and somebody just, you know, you can look at it in one screen while you're working on it, makes a whole lot more sense than, you know, we see in other things.
Yeah, so I mean when it boils down to it, if anybody's seen like a Marvel movie with Tony Stark where he has like all these hollow screens and stuff like that are popping up, or like he's looking in like the glasses and things pop up, that's what we mean by some of this augmented reality things. A lot of science kind of emanates from like science fiction or movies, right? But like it's the easiest if someone can picture it or show you what it looks like, it's easiest for someone to probably work on, because they already have an idea of what they're working on in their head. And I think that's the essence of the augmented reality. I mean, if I was a surgeon and I'm performing like a triple bypass on someone's heart, I think that first off, they probably don't like a lot of distractions. But second off, having something on the side that shows you, hey, this is what you've done so far. Here's his heart rate. Like all of the readers that are plugged in and beeping off to the side, having them all on the screen, I think it might make things easier.
I can do
Unless a
that.
surgeon wants to go for simplicity, which makes sense to me, you're able to focus. So I think a lot of cases like that, it doesn't have to be necessarily a surgeon. Like for us, it would be like if we go into a station and we're trying to, let's say, recommend a solution, then if you can recommend the solution and show the solutions, like in some form, the final form of it, some way, to a customer. Or to the business, how could they say no? Right?
It's like, you know, like what you mentioned about the whole surgeon thing. You can use these type of things, you know, AR type of training, where you get the hands-on training, because I guarantee you there's not a lot of people out there that's volunteering and say, hey, I want to be a practice dummy for somebody that's practicing, but, you know, quadruple bypass.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not really something you see on, like, I don't know, LinkedIn or Indeed. You know,
Looking for
definitely not
dummies.
something you're going to find in the job market.
No.
But, you know, giving them a training tool so they can practice, so they can get, you know, moving. You know, the guys who are like brain surgeons, you know, you got guys who are, you know, working on somebody's brain, the deuce, and they're playing a violin, you know, and it's one of those things. Those brain surgeons are the smartest people out there right now, you know, unless you talk about the guys working like nerves and stuff, then maybe they might win the cake. But giving them the
Yeah.
ability to practice is another thing.
That's beautiful too, 'cause like you don't get very many second chances. If any at all, when you're doing certain types of surgeries, that's why assumed risk is part of the game. So yeah, having something that where you can like a flight simulator, so we can kind of guarantee pilots. I mean, at the end of the day, we still lose some pilots and some flights have errors and things like that. But I bet you they would have. It would have been much higher of a number if we didn't have flight simulator, if we didn't require a certain number of hours in simulations, or without passengers to be able to get to that point. So, augmented reality, I think, is already being used in aviation as far as learning how to fly.
Oh yeah, even targeting systems on that type of stuff, if you think about it, with the new even limited release of information they've released on the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, the fact that these guys are able to look through the airplane and, kind of see what's going on, it's you leave the physical and the virtual while still being the physical, while still operating a multi-billion-dollar airplane.
Right. We need
So
that plane back. That's the big thing. Don't.
yeah, as long as it lands, you don't end up with the invisible airplane. I think we're okay. If you land but the plane does not, then there's multiple other questions I have to think about. Like, where'd the plane go?
How'd you do
So,
that?
it's an invisible plane on the end of the runway.
So I did have two kind of big thoughts about kind of the juxtaposition of 3D printing and AR that I kind of wanted to bring to your attention, I guess get your thoughts on as well too. So there's the first thing I'll start with is kind of like we talked about the fact that it allows for your iterations to lower, so you're saving material, things like that, and print time and print numbers and stuff like that. So that's going to inevitably increase your workflow. That's kind of one of the things I wanted to focus on was like how do I increase my workflow, make myself more efficient. There's actually I believe I need to learn more about this company, but they focus on CTE, which is career and technical education, like hands-on learning in certain situations for STEM students, so they can like let's say at a young age they could see, okay, well here's what a normal situation you would have if you go into this field and you become a mechanic on blah 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 machine. This is usually what a failure would look like and what you would need to do. Go through that, learn. It becomes like we talked about it, gamified. So this is something that's like exactly 3D Bear. It says that they're working towards a hand-on experience for some for things as well as having a quick and early introduction into some of that education and what that technical work looks like. So that's one of the things is I think that augmented reality not only is it going to enhance the actual work that you're doing day to day, how does that make me a better worker? How does it make me more efficient? You're going to be able to organize yourself. Some people, if they have ADD, they're going to overdo it, and it's going to have the same issue as, the internet did whenever it first came out for people. They're like, I don't need to learn anything. I just have it on the internet. So I think that's inevitably going to happen. However, if we pivot and use that to learn hands-on experience, yeah, to me, it's the same thing as like you're flying a plane. You're learning how to fly a plane early.
I
So.
can agree with that. I just kind of pulled it up. 3D Bear.
Yeah, I need to look more on them, but it seems like they have the right idea. This is what I mean. They have kind of the idea that we were kind of talking towards. We've been talking about several episodes, so I like that idea. Bring it to the kids. Show them how to scan things. Show them how to print things. How useful it is. Yeah.
The fact that this stuff can be easily deployed and quickly deployed employed is a game changer at that point. I know we
Well.
sometimes use that theory, that word, that set of words a little bit quicker than most, but the thing is it's something that is easily deployable, something that makes sense, something that even if it's not just to kids but to trade schools, to help people figure out A to B, because a lot of times you get people coming in that don't have the hands-on experience that they need to have. But this will give them the I guess you could say physio training that they need, where they know how to see things that are coming up.
Yeah, a lot of kids nowadays are. I mean, honestly, it's how I learned. You see, then you can do it afterwards. Like you end up, you see, you take notes, you practice, then you can do it afterwards. I think that's that role playing is part of. I mean, in my prior jobs, role playing has been a huge part of what you needed to do to be prepared for when a system goes down, or to be prepared when prior, I used to work in retail. Be prepared when someone wants to or tries to come in and steal from you, or be prepared when you have certain situations that you have to kind of de-escalate situations. If you aren't prepared for those situations, then when the situation happens, it makes it that much worse.
You know, and I think that, you know, any way to support training to get ahead of the game is paramount and is something that needs to happen. You know, I think the way the use of AR and education is going to be pushed to the limit and to the maybe not the limit, but definitely pushed to the extreme in the next couple of years, where, you know, the fact that some things that are hands-on are getting too expensive. So now you bring it into the metaphysical world where kids can now see it, deal with it, you know, play with it, fix it. You know, same thing as adults, you know, because some schools may not be able to afford a robot or, you know, a CNC machine or something like that, but you could do it and you can do it in, you know, an augmented reality if you really wanted to.
Yeah, I think you talked about it before. Yaskawa
I do.
has a great system for this as well. Similar to kind of what we've been talking about, it's something where you could learn and work on and teach Kuka robots without actually having a physical, Kuka robot, which is like tens of thousands of dollars, right?
Yeah, in the most part, yeah. It's like if you think about it, you know, when you start getting into the different uses, especially teaching and training and immersion type of uses, where it's not really, you're not in a point of where it's there to make money, but it's there to make a difference, I guess you could say. Is the ability to use AR and museum curation. And also using AR in like in the restoration of historical artifacts that may not be around anymore. For example, like the Wright Flyer. You scan the Wright Flyer, you give people the ability to be in it, see how it would look sitting in it, and stuff like that in a AR type of environment.
And just for clarity, you're talking about the plane that the Wilbur brothers flew on, the Wright brothers. Okay, got you. Just wanted to make sure, and I would like to ride on that or see what it's like to fly in that. So that's something that's pretty cool. Might
And,
have to
you
look into
know,
that.
if you think about it, you know, or hey, look, I want to see, you know, this statue up close, but it's somebody scans it or somebody gets it into the system and they can spin it in their hand to look at it. They can zoom into it. They can really get their hands on something that, you know, is so, you know, I guess you could say out of process. Or so far away that they can't get their hands on, or that it's, you know, something that's getting ready to fall apart.
Right.
Being able to get people inside one of the decommissioned space shuttles using augmented reality so they can see kind of things that are going on and how it would look either on launch day or in orbit. Or, you know, that's something that's not, I know they have it on the internet. I get it, but having it in like an augmented reality type of space.
Yeah,
So.
don't they have theaters or like experiences that make it like I'm pretty sure there's a few examples of augmented reality that puts you inside of what a hurricane is, it would feel like, so you can experience actually that those kind of conditions. However, without making it actually physical, I think it's a little bit difficult in those situations. But if you have a VR headset on and you're overlaying actual footage from like some camera lenses, I think that at a certain point, some people would work a full 8 hours and they would be working in augmented reality. So yeah, I it's hard not to see it, but it needs to, for me, I think the beautiful part is that you can use 3D printing to model your headset and
Mm-hmm.
then make your new one, and then you can use the VR to kind of make sure you're aligning things and fitting them correctly. So I think they just go back and forth, and they work like windshield wipers in a lot of situations.
Oh yeah, and the thing is like, that's when you start getting the restorations. You can see what what it was supposed to look like and what it does look like now. It's like they're restoring things, especially like the Smithsonian. You start getting into stuff that they're restoring that's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years old at this point. They're trying to restore it, not bring it back to its original age, but just where they can display it. You got all the stuff from the moon landings and stuff like that are there that people can't get their hands on, but people can look at through the glass. Why not give them the ability to put on a VR headset and actually walk through it? Be part of a to be able to sit in one of the buggies that they took on the moon and stuff like that, without physically having to, be in one. It's also something that, when you start talking about AR versus, and also the VR type of stuff, is why can't you use augmented reality, field trips?
Like secret or magic school bus.
Maybe, pretty much. But the thing is,
That
it's
makes
like
sense.
you have schools that can't afford to bring their kids to like DC or something like that to go see the Smithsonian and see some of these things. Some kids may never get time to or the chance to go to DC, and see the Smithsonian or see Cape Canaveral, see Kennedy Space Center, see the Rocket Garden.
Right.
In reality, you bring a company in that's got these headsets, and 3D printed inserts to be able to make sure they fit all the kids. And you give them the ability to walk through places they will never be able to go to, unless they had that opportunity.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you make it so much easier. I mean, soon enough we're gonna have augmented reality and smart wallpaper, so we'll be able to change our room to whatever setting we want. So I
That could
think
get creepy.
it could get. We're well on our way to this, but by the way, 'cause LG's got the screens that are as thin as two credit cards thick, and they're displaying, but they're not the size of a full room's wallpaper. I'm assuming they probably have tried this in one room, but I know
Oh,
they
the
were working on the
practical
bendable.
jokes I could do with
Yeah, it's a little dangerous, but we gotta worry about security and things like that. But
that.
hopefully by that point we have security down pat.
Somebody
But
wakes up their
so
entire rooms in the clouds. Don't go to
exactly.
bed drunk. You never know where you're gonna
Exactly. No, that's the scary part.
end up.
So another thing that I wanted to kind of bring to your attention and bring up and speak on here is the possibility of using like a VR or AR headset to help in live designing a model as it's printing.
Ooh.
So that's pretty crazy, and I think that's really it's like when you hear it, you're like, "Ooh, how is that possible? I would like to see that." Well, the cool thing is they do have a video of it. If you're curious, you should look up it's the ROMA project, ROMA, from Cornell. So Cornell, MIT, and I think UCF, University of Central Florida, they collaborated on this project where they have a cuckoo robot arm with the hot end on the end, that is printing a basic object. Now, the programmer is someone with an AR headset, or designer, you could call him, and he has to have very specialized training, so that's why I think this is like a little bit difficult to attain, but is possible or doable because I've seen it. But he designed a pot, created a handle in free time. So the pot was already designed and placed there, so the robot was going to print that, and printed the spout and the handle, creating it in live time in the middle of printing that piece. So I think there's a lot of questions that I had that I'm probably gonna have to think about a little bit longer or do a little more research. But from basically just hearing that, you probably have some questions too, Nick, I bet.
Very much so. I think I just found one of the articles on it,
Yep.
and
Yeah.
it's.
Well, you're kind of drowning out there.
Oh, sorry, I was kind of like talking to my hand there for a second.
Oh no, you're fine.
I was reading it, and now I see where you're talking about where they made it. And then I see the one where they
It's
made an
pretty
airplane
cool.
model
Yeah,
stand.
the handle, the stand. They actually,
Yeah.
the cool thing about that is they changed what their print bed was. So they got a clamp, and they clamped the model of that jet to the board, the print bed, so it just doesn't move. And then they leveled to that point, and then drew from that point the stand, and then flipped it upside down, and it stood on it. It was strong enough. So I think that part of that is kind of content. It comes from the structure that they printed and the material they're printing out of. So that test to me is more of an indicator of what they're printing with, as opposed to the style and how they're printing, modeling, and things like that. However, they made it in real time.
Yeah,
Like I watched them, like yeah, I watched them draw those lines.
there's supposed to be a paper on it. I'll have to find the research paper and take a
Yeah,
look.
we gotta do some research into that. But Cornell's been the main pusher for that.
Yeah, well, Cornell is known for AR. I'm kind of, I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of surprised UCF's involved. To be honest with you, but it's one of those things. UCF is getting better and better with some of their material sciences stuff. Not say they're great at it, but they're definitely not good at football, but we know that. What else? You can't give a coach more than 3 years.
That's
But
true.
from down there, so believe me, we used to call you can't finish because they'd always change the degree path halfway through and you're stuck.
It's hard to have stability when you can't
Right. But the thing
have a
is they're getting
focus.
better at it. But the thing is this is one of those things where it's just something outside the box. Somebody finally thought outside the box and figured, hey, guess what? I can draw with this thing. I can do. I'm more or less wondering about the print head. Because,
It seemed like it was a normal hot end.
yeah, it does. It looks like it's a. Let me see if I
Well,
can't zoom
maybe a
in.
little bit larger.
No, it really, it's, you got the extreme, yet. Four tubes coming in, and you have, it looks like a CHF or something like that, high flow on one side, and then everything else is controlled on the top of it. So it's actually pretty cool, and it's kind of interesting that they tied all that to an industrial robot. So they probably used a does it say what I know they used KUKA, but did they tell you which one they used?
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if it is even a KUKA robot, but
Yeah,
I
it is.
just
It's KUKA.
it is okay.
Yeah, it's KUKA.
It looked like the front of it, but
Yeah.
I was focused more on the print and kind of what the goggles, the designer and the goggles were doing as opposed to anything else. I
Yeah,
mean,
I think it's
yeah.
cool because it's definitely something that you would never really pay
Exactly.
attention to until somebody decided to do it. So I don't think anybody thought about that. Said, hey, guess what? I can draw in physical space
Yeah.
using a robot or a 3D printer of some sort to
I think
do
it's a little
this.
difficult though. I mean, to me, if you look at it, it's very rudimentary, the designing.
A little
So I
stringy.
think, I mean, the same way that people started getting good with the iPad and using the Apple Pen to design on the go, right?
Oh yeah.
I feel like this is just another tool, and honestly, like you, the glasses are a different thing. What if I set up a iPad on its side, and there's some type of camera or app that's on there that you have a scan, you're drawing from that as it's printing. I think that having the goggles and trying to design with that little handheld, that's a little bit of an extreme. It's really cool. You can do it. It's proven. We see it. But I think the more realistic probably version of that is having a station that's near to but not like that close in the safety curtain of the robot, right?
Yeah.
And then you can design from there. Probably with a stencil or some type, but that would be, in my eyes, that would be augmented reality. If I have an overview of or a scan of an already printed model and I'm trying to add pieces, or I have half a model and I'm trying to add pieces, I would still call that it's scanning the print which you have currently, showing you in updated real time what it is. That's augmented reality and 3D printing. That's instant prototyping.
Yeah,
Instant.
it's
Not even
fill in the
just rapid.
blank,
Yeah,
you know.
exactly.
It's for me, I could see that helping with, like, if you're doing like suspension geometry parts and stuff like that for cars, or you're doing like intake manifolds. It's like, I have this, and now I have to build to this. You know, not all engines are the same, not all headsets are the same, you know. So you're kind of like building in and stuff like that and changing up. Hey, I need something to fit this knuckle, I need something to fit this spring perch. You know, and the printer just goes, okay, cool, I got it. You know, you take a picture of it, you look at it, you kind of, you know, change it in the AR world while it's, you know, starting to do its own thing. Where I would kind of be interested to see this actually take shape and take flight is in resin printing, because since resin printing is by light anyways, that means that the design can always change until that layer is been, well, defeated.
Yeah, I think it's gonna form some different, like, you know how pottery became its own like art
Yep.
form, steel working and things like that. The material, the medium just changed, but you're definitely just, forming whatever material you have. I think this is just another form of that. I mean, it's gonna get to, like, with resin printing. One thing I know now is if I have a print and I break my resin print and it's two pieces and I just want to reattach them, all I got to do is get a little bit of my the resin I printed it with and brush on like a couple layers on both sides of the uncured resin, and then clamp them together and hit them with some UV rays, and they're fused again, they're cured again. So there's ways that people can, and similarly with FFF or FDM printing, there's these pens, right, that do similarly what we're talking about, but the pens themselves have to heat up and extrude, so it's not the robot arm. However, I think that these are very similar ideas. You're just, instead of having something like written and you can confirm or delete it, you have to physically print with the pen or paint. With physically paint with resin, but these are much harder for you to get a form or a structure out of, as opposed to actually having the whole thing change as you're printing.
Right. And you know, the thing is the Cornell design brings the A into STEAM, you know, and it brings the art into it. It lets people draw, design and draw in an augmented reality cyberspace that's usually controlled by math. You know, it brings in all facets of STEAM, or you know, STEM, but adding the arts in there, STEAM, is because now you're dealing with, you know, people who are, you got the science portion, you got the technology portion from the AR, you got the engineering side, you got a robot arm, you know, you got the arts, somebody being able to draw it out, and the math side, which is all coming up with what algorithms are having to run to make that actually happen.
Right. Exactly.
It's the total package, if you think about it, you know, in the grand scheme of things. You know,
Yeah,
you have some material sciences and stuff like that going on.
it's definitely very hard to emulate, and but it's touching so many different aspects. It's the culmination of a lot of different breakthroughs in many fields of science. But augmented reality, I think, is something that's, to me, it's such a key, a great tool to add on in any situation. I can think of a million uses for it, even in just our workplace. If I'm able to kind of, it makes, I don't, I'm not a big fan of the goggles, I'm just going to be honest with you, because to me, that's putting a screen in your face and that's separating you from society or from the rest of the world. To me, augmented reality should be a way that everything is brought together and just more information displayed and available. So I think as we progress through, time and things like that, we're going to start having more breakthroughs where we can probably get to a point where it might even be as simple or as small as a contact that you could put in your put in a, into a single eye or maybe both, and you can have an overlay of the environment just right there. I know some people are probably going to be a little bit adverse to that, but a contact can get taken out. So at the end of the day, for me, if this is something that is a tool to make us more efficient, to make our lives easier and things like that, make us more connected, I say we go for it. I think that that's the clear-cut path forward for this. I see, of course, like when we looked at 3D Bear and Roma, there are thinkers that are pushing the bounds. Absolutely. So I think that if we can get to a point of, well, we're going to get to a point where AR itself grows, and we're already at a point where additive manufacturing and 3D printing is in every industry, it's going to seep into VR and AR.
Oh,
I
yeah,
bet
definitely.
it's already have quite a bit, but I think that these two are going to be very, very, it's going to be hard to find one without the other in the future.
Very much so. And the thing is you're moving away from, some of your basics. You're not your basics, but more or less your basic materials and stuff like that, moving more to an advanced side of the house. Because now you can see what you're looking for. You see what you're looking at. You're always focusing on, that next level of design and, usability. So I think as we move forward with, the AR side and the VR side and how it's worn and how it's used, I think we're kind of moving forward. Because if you think about it, think about all the times that we can get rid of, scanners, that people are carrying around on a daily basis, and move that to a lens that can do the scanning for you. That can validate, part consumption and stuff like that at that point in time. And now you've reduced the dexterity requirements, for somebody. So now you've been now you're able to take jobs that were only open to people that had full dexterity, and because they can handle a scanner, to somebody that they wear can wear a headset and touch a virtual button. We've opened up that entire world to somebody.
You really make a digital workplace.
Right, and you make things more and more, user and people friendly.
If it makes, I mean, everybody just wants to push efficiency. We live in a production-based world. A lot of other companies do too. You have to measure KPIs in some way. So at the end of the day, if you're able to use this, utilize it, increase anything, you have business cases for future growth. You have business cases for future innovation and things of that sort. So, yeah, it's hard to ignore what's going on, and hard to ignore AR by itself. So,
Like
as
I
well
saw
as 3D printing.
something one day called it was augmented reality picking. So it was part picking, but it was done under AR goggle. So it was grab this part here, grab this part from here, grab this part from here, and it would show you in the glasses where things were being picked from.
Oh,
And
okay.
it kind of took the let me go read a sign and get confused about where I'm going to, oh, this is a it's a traffic light. How many traffic lights tells me what to how many of these things to pick, and stuff like that. So definitely seen that. Definitely seen also where it's helping people kind of move from jobs only being, like I said, like we were talking about earlier with the dexterity thing, but making people move from jobs where they usually couldn't have those jobs to jobs where they can. People who are they're confined to home that feel like they don't have a way out. Now they could put on an AR headset or a Meta headset or something like that and be part of that workplace. They could be part of that project.
Which is really cool to think about, because you used to not have the, like, this connectivity wasn't a thing that we used to have. So it's nice to see. It's a little scary, I would say, for some people, just because of how how realistic things could be for certain fields or certain things like that. People may not like how they end up being dealt with as far as working with the augmented reality and automation and things like that. So it's definitely something to think about, something to kind of consider when you're working with both of these fields. Is yes, they stand the possibility of not necessarily taking someone's job, but in the sense of efficiency, they should be making your job that much easier,
It
right?
gets away from the physical environment. It opens up the realm of,
But you
true
still need a
hybrid.
quality tech. You still need someone who is validating, because a robot's output is only as good as the input, and
Right.
unless the machine has been learning for very long time, they're not going to know the process that you're trying to introduce. And if you're in a situation like us where engineering needs to make changes or wants to make changes to maintain some type of standard that they have pictured, then it's hard for some machine and AI to keep up.
Right. And I saw
So.
something one day, I think it was last week actually. There was a company that designed their entire office complex inside VR or inside Meta, the metaverse type of thing. And they bought all of their employees headsets. And because they're a distributed company, they're not all in one spot. They got people, work from, other locations. And they give these people these headsets, so when they have meetings, they bring everybody together, inside the metaverse, inside their office, inside their meeting room that they actually used to own when they owned a building. And they say it's a time where they can bring everybody together, everybody sees each other, everybody kind of knows what's going on, and they actually have meetings with everybody in a AR controlled cyberspace. And they'll have AR controlled meetings or AR meetings, doesn't matter.
Kind of like not exactly Second Life. Second Life was pure VR.
Yeah, right.
But if you could somehow import or transplant yourself like that, we don't have transportation or teleportation just yet. We're working on it. But I mean, this is the next best thing, next closest
Yeah,
thing.
let's not get to the movie Upload. You're a couple hours of a waste of time. Go watch that. So
But that was a TV show. There's a lot of
it is a
science
TV show, yeah.
fiction that kind of touches on the thought of what consciousness is and as it transforms through. I mean, that's a question or a topic for another day though, 'cause that's a rabbit hole that doesn't just span technology side. That's like a metaphysical, that's like almost a spiritual, psychological
Yeah, that's one of
conversation.
those ones of how weird do you really want to get?
Yeah.
But it's one of those things of where AR is and AR and VR, mostly since we're talking about AR, is able to support, all processes, through a company, engineering, manufacturing, administrative. If you think about it, look how it can help with interviews, and stuff like that. It doesn't let
Yeah, you
somebody
can
hide
have
behind
it.
a screen anymore.
Yeah, you can have someone prove or show their technique. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm probably just like everybody else. I don't like someone standing over my shoulder and watching me do stuff, even if it's something I do all the time. Like I don't need someone standing over me like that. It kind of adds some unneeded pressure, like for no reason. But at the end of the day, if you need to prove and it's for a critical topic like a surgeon, that surgeon better be fine with someone standing over their shoulder, because there might be a second surgeon there that's helping them,
Right,
right?
and if you think about it, when it comes down to like interviews and stuff like that, now you have the people, the in-person meetings or in-person interviews for people who are outside the state. You bring them in, you have a conversation with them, and you're there, well, metaphysically, I guess you could say. But you still have that one-on-one type of feel, with everybody in the same room. And it kind of fixes the, this is how I feel about, this, type of nonsense. But, like you said, it also helps with the 3D printing side of the house because now, it's a whole other way of being able to check your STL. You never know what that STL is going to look like until you throw it in the an augmented reality thing. You spin around a little bit, you take a look at it and go, oh, that's a little wonky. And you edit it real quick and you throw it to the printer and the printer spits it out and hey, look, it matches.
Yeah, if you get you can see your you can see errors before you even have to print once.
Right.
It just makes sense to me have to have some type of form of a checker. I mean, we talk about using augmented reality all the time with we talk, what was it, spaghetti detection? Spaghetti detection even does it uses kind of LiDAR and some type of augmented or AI to show you, hey, this is an issue here. We're using these things already in the process, but I think we're getting from like the micro to the macro level as well.
Right. And I think we're about there, I think of getting there at least. I think seeing things in the physical and seeing things in the digital is something that is definitely going to be a way of the future to be able to support, not just the spaghetti detection, not just the design and the modeling. It's the theory of being able to see what I designed in physical space inside that STL format and what actually came out in hard space. So what actually came out from the machine, do they match? I can overlay that STL in AR over the STL that I actually printed and make sure that everything came to the right layout. It's
Right.
definitely a QC check if you think about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's and that's something you can do because we talk about scanning, and scanning also could be part of this. We can use that as a step in this process. But you're scanning your print or your model, or like if you're saying, hey, this column fell, I need to print something that's going to replace it or fit in the same place. You scan the area, you print, you scan the area again afterwards to make sure you got the same. So you measure twice, and then if it's not right, you print it again. I think from there, that should solve a lot of people's issues with sizing. I think a lot to construction 3D printing that we talked about is that you can hit, set the slab, the foundation, and then you can overlay augmented reality on top of that, and then change the rooms and things like that, and then you can have your printer print out that design that you've selected. So to me, that's kind of one of the other use cases that I would say like we could be using probably even today to make a lot of people's lives easier if they're looking at what a constructed house might look like when it's done, sizing and understanding those things. You could even get people to feel, if you get the goggles before you even print, you can get them to feel what it's going to be like in that home.
Right. And it gives you a whole new meaning to building by customization. It's one of those things. I think that'd be awesome. And you give those to especially custom home builders, people who they do this for a living, they understand what needs to be changed, what doesn't need to be changed, and how things are. They can
Right.
easily see that, It's and also the thing is, if you think about it, these guys who order cars from, and I know we're running long, from Ford, for example, or from Dodge or some of these other companies that may not be able to see their car ahead of time before it is delivered, they're actually able to see what the car they're ordering is before it arrives. We can only do so much in pictures.
It's true.
Be like, hey, look, your car got arrived. Make it part of the design process, part of the manufacturing department's process. Your AR model arrived. Now, go check it.
Yeah, there you go. And I mean, like, yeah, if everyone has like a standardized set of augmented reality glasses, goggles, whatever you have, if they all kind of communicate the same, then there's your you can get it before you spend all your money. You can see if you even like it.
Yeah, bring it to all the dealers, make sure all the dealers have them, and somebody puts them on and validates, okay, cool, this is the car that I actually want, this is the interior that I want, this is the exterior that I want, this is everything I want, especially if you start dealing in some of those other cars, the Koenigseggs and stuff like that, where everything is built to the person. You don't want to be a stitch off, because if you're a stitch off, guess what, you just wasted 1 point something million dollars at full price ahead of time.
Oof. Yeah.
So that
Yeah,
can be a
not
really
good.
expensive screw up.
Well, saves the company time, saves the worker stress.
Right.
Win-win.
And it doesn't make sure you don't pick the wrong color of orange. You
Right.
know, I wanted pumpkin. Well, you picked, you know, traffic cone. You know,
Neon.
right. You know,
Oh
I don't know why you picked, you know, an orange exterior and a bright yellow interior. Yeah, well, you know, it's you. You know, but
no.
until,
Hard
but
choices.
right. You know, don't be the one who, you know, puts a review, you know, a heating, what is it? Heated rear window in a vehicle that doesn't have a rearview mirror.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, that's one of those things. It's stuff that, you know, kind of sometimes makes sense.
Should be common sense is overlooked more than you know.
Exactly. And
Yeah.
with AR, we kind of fix those known issues, you know, and we find the bugs.
Right.
So, but you know, I think we've kind of, before we go too long, because we can take this another almost another hour, because we're at, you know, almost an hour now.
Right.
It doesn't feel like that, but you know, I think we're going to bring it to an end at this point. But you know, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's listening. You know, we're at 2268. You know, y'all, it's absolutely amazing. You know, we're having fun with it. We're hoping you're enjoying it. If you had any ideas for, you know, any new topics, reach out and let us know. You know, we're definitely going to be bringing y'all along on some of the shows we go to this year. You know, we're definitely pushing. Well, we not pushing. We are going to go to Automate up in Chicago this year. You know, we won't be making it to Rapid this year. So if we, you know, we're hoping to meet y'all out there at Rapid this year. It doesn't look like we'll make it. We're going to try to make it next year. Maybe do Rapid next year instead of doing Automate. And then there's a chance that you may see one of us, two of us, you know, you may see one of our other guys with us. Hopefully out at SEMA this year. You know, we're going to try to make it out there to Vegas to SEMA. You know, and get our hands in that type of stuff and try to support that. You know, we're looking at how we can better support that way, you know, that side of the house. So, you know, go take a look at some of the stuff we got going on. You know, go take a look at the Printed Heritage side of the house, Vulcan R3D, you know, for any of the swag. We'll probably be adding a couple other things to that. You might see another website pop up here or there, you know, eventually, that we got going on. You know, may have a little bit of car stuff coming up eventually, you know, that we're doing with the 3D printers and scanners and whatnot. So, you know, let us know what you think. Let us know what you want us to work on, you know, kind of tinker with. So, you know, I want to say thank you. You know, I appreciate y'all, and y'all have a good one. Turn it over to you.
Yeah, you know, I always echo. We are very appreciative. We don't really we talk about this stuff a lot, but not all the time do we have kind of a anyone to actually kind of listen or has the same kind of interest. So it's nice to have a platform to kind of talk with people that are like-minded. So if you guys ever have any time or want to spend some time kind of chatting about some of the topics, reach out to us. We're always open. We're never going to kind of shoot anything down. We like kind of tinkering and learning new things. So like even if it's something we don't know about, I think we take it as a challenge and we take it from there. So if you got any ideas, just reach out. Yeah, like Nick says, lithophanes galore on Printed Heritage. If you want some type of keepsake, if you can't think of a birthday gift or a Christmas gift or just a memento for someone, a lithophane is a great way to do that. You can order a lot of customs from us, so we kind of advertise that and just let you know, like, if you've got questions, we can work through pretty much anything that you're requesting. So we're just here to kind of serve you and kind of keep those memories that you have and cherish close, and then you could show them off to your friends, family, whomever. So again, stay tuned. We got some cool stuff with the scanner coming. We got some cool things cooking. So yeah, keep in touch, guys, and yeah, you guys take care.
All right, y'all. Have a good one. All right.
That's all for this episode of Tech at Lunch. Thanks for tuning in and joining us for this tech-filled lunch break. We hope you enjoy the show, and don't forget to subscribe on all channels. And also, you can find us on YouTube under Vulcanar Technology Solutions. And join us for our next episode, which gets published every Wednesday at 8 a.m. All right, y'all. Have a good one. See you later.